Okay, we ready? Galatians. We are wrapping up our series on Galatians, and I'm really, really appreciate the footnotes class that have been meeting before the service as we've gathered around and exchanged ideas and information. People did their, did their homework, brought different concepts to the table, and it was a great conversation. I deeply appreciated that. And so any heresies that I share with you, it comes from them. No, they're probably speaking the truth. But it's been good for us to work through this book. And if you haven't had a chance to read this letter to the Galatians, I encourage you still to do so as you kind of assimilate this into your life. As I'm getting older, I realize that some of my childhood punishments have now become my adult goals. If I misbehaved when I was a child, sometimes my mom would say to me, "You can't go out tonight, you have to stay in your room, and you must go to bed at 9. And now I'm thinking, that sounds pretty good. I don't know about you, but especially in the dark night, sometimes Christine and I will look at each other and say, "Is it time for bed yet?" It's like, "No, 7:30. How is this possible? I'm tired." And so, you know, some of my childhood punishments have become my adult goals. I'm sure, like me, you can think back to your childhood days, and maybe especially teen years, and your thoughts about freedom. I think when I was a teenager, my thought of freedom is, I can't wait to become an adult, because then, you know, I can stay up as late as I want, I can eat what I want, that didn't work out so well for me, I can spend what I want, I can go where I want, no one's going to control me, I have all these freedoms, and then you become an adult, and you realize that was a myth. Someone told me a lie about freedom as an adult, because suddenly you've got bills to pay and you want to go to bed early, and eating what you want doesn't always work out so well. So our idea of freedom needs to mature as we become adults, correct? That word freedom is a word that's being used a lot these days. And I think even since COVID times, remember that blip in the calendar that we had for a time? Freedom became sort of this battle cry. You know, we put on banners and we had freedom convoys and we had slogans about freedom. I mean, we think back to Braveheart days, right? They may take our lives, but never take our freedom. And this far surpassed whatever Braveheart did during that time. We're even going to put freedom on our license plate, apparently. It's a word that's thrown around a lot, isn't it? And yet, I do think that maybe we need to mature in our understanding of freedom. We need to grow up a little bit, perhaps, in our understanding of what freedom is and the purpose of freedom. And I think Galatians helps us to do that. Now, I know that Paul is speaking of a particular kind of freedom. He's speaking of a spiritual freedom. Of freedom in Christ, of freedom as he would see from the law, freedom to live in the Spirit. But I think Paul's idea of freedom, as he spells it out for us in Galatians, also has implications for freedom in general as we live our lives today and understand what it's meant to be and how we're responsibly meant to use freedom in our lives. Galatians is a manifesto on freedom, but it's freedom in community. And that's a huge part of what Paul wants us to grasp as he talks about this, because Paul's heart is for unity in the church as an expression of freedom. David Mathis has this quote that I've appreciated. He says this, "Christian freedom is freedom together. It's not the kind of liberty that moves us away from each other to protect our rights and guard our little packages of liberty." I like that expression. Because that's, I think, what we have in mind. When we hear freedom, we think of independence and asserting our rights and going life our own way. But Paul calls us to a different kind of freedom, and Christian freedom is not about guarding our little packages of liberty, but it is a freedom together, a freedom with, a freedom that is greater and more enjoyable with others. And that's an important aspect as we work through this letter to the Galatians. So over the course of this sermon series, we've looked at some freedom lessons. And so instead of quizzing you this morning and seeing how well you do, I wouldn't do that, we're just going to go back and recap some of these great freedom lessons that we find in Galatians. The first freedom lesson is this: don't go back, press forward. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul says this: I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Paul went to the Galatians proclaiming the gospel, and the gospel for him was this proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah. And in that proclamation, there is now freedom. And they embraced it quickly and readily and with great joy. And now Paul hears word that they're going back. They're going back to the law. There's people, the agitators, that are going in saying, no, no, it's not that easy. You've got to come through these laws and regulations first, and then you can be accepted in community. And Paul says, I'm astonished. I'm astonished that you're not enjoying this freedom that Jesus has provided for you. And he says, don't go back. That's the freedom lesson here. Don't go back. Press forward. And I think we can apply this to lots of areas in our lives. As I was saying to the footnotes group this morning, there's not a lot of people running around to our church and saying, you must be circumcised today. That's not our issue. That's not our challenge that we're looking at, right? But there are issues of in community and with one another, sometimes rules that we make up that we have to be aware of, right? Traditions of man that we have to be aware of as we move toward freedom in Christ. There's also some of our past, our guilt and our shame and maybe addictions or maybe our fears. And we've been given freedom in Christ. And part of the freedom lesson here is don't go back. During the Banff Pastors Conference, we had a guest speaker, Lennett Anderson. And George, where's George today? George knows Lennett. They ministered in the same general area in Nova Scotia. Lennett is the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Halifax. And it's a very historic, black Baptist church. And Lennett has been there for 26 years serving as pastor. In fact, the story I think I heard is that he was literally born there. His mom was singing in the choir and she went into labor. So the guy's been in the church for a long time. And he preaches with a lot of enthusiasm. He even has a handkerchief to make sure he wipes the sweat off his face. And he calls for people to respond. And a couple of times he called us the frozen chosen because we weren't responding in the same way as he is used to. But he said a couple of things that were really great and lots of things that were great. But this one phrase really stuck with me, and it's this. He said, the past is a point of reference, but not our residence. And that really stuck with me. And I'm thinking about this freedom lesson of don't go back, but press forward. The past is important. It's there. But it's there as a point of reference. But it's not our residence. It's not where we reside. It's not where we stay. And I think Paul would say this of the law too. The law wasn't evil. The law wasn't bad. The law now is a point of reference. But now we move forward in the Spirit and move forward in Christ. So that's freedom lesson number one, don't go back, but press forward. Freedom lesson number two from chapter two, you are dead, now live. This is kind of a radical concept that Paul introduces. He says basically what has happened to Jesus has happened to you. So if Jesus died, so you have died. And if Jesus rose again, so you have risen again. He says in chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so when shame comes knocking at the door, or guilt comes knocking at the door, or fear comes knocking at the door, we can open the door and say, you've got the wrong house. That guy's dead, right? I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's part of what Paul is saying. That's a freedom lesson. You are dead, now live. Freedom lesson number three, from chapter three. Paul says this, you belong here. I don't know if we often think about freedom in this way. Freedom is found in belonging to one another. And Paul says another radical statement for this new community that is now forming. He says it in chapter 3, verse 28. There is now neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Do we get the radical concept that that is for Paul? And it's still a radical concept for us, that all the barriers that we put up, whether they're racial barriers or whether they're social barriers, whether they're gender barriers, and Paul says, none of that matters. Freedom is found in belonging, and belonging is found in Jesus. And we are now one in Christ. And there's freedom in that from the barriers that we put up. So freedom lesson number 3, you belong here. And then freedom lesson number 4 is what Mackenzie brought to us last week, and it's from chapter 5. And he didn't say this, but I would say it. Enslave yourself to others. And you're going, what? How is that freedom? Because all along, Paul has been saying, don't be a slave again, don't be a slave again, don't be a slave. And then he comes to chapter 5 and says, be a slave to one another. And we're meant to pause and go, what is that all about? In chapter 5, verse 13, he said, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And this word serve really has this idea of become a slave to one another. And that opens it up maybe to all kinds of vulnerabilities, I guess. And we have to be careful in some aspects. So be careful how you take this and apply it literally. But this idea of our freedom is for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve. And we're meant to serve one another. And we find freedom, actually, in serving. And that is very counterintuitive in the world around us. Mostly, I think, the message I get from my friends and my neighbors, the TV, internet, is that freedom is found by asserting your independence. And here we find in Galatians that this kind of freedom is actually found in learning to serve one another. And that's profound, and it's a different take on freedom. So these are the freedom lessons we've learned so far. We've got one more to go, but I would like to read today Galatians chapter 6 to conclude our series. And I want to do a bit of a kind of slow reading. It doesn't mean I'm going to read the words slowly. I'm just going to pause at different sections and make a few comments as we go through and then just wrap it up with the freedom lesson for today. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Okay, let's pause for a moment. Is Paul confused here? Do you get this? At first he says, carry each other's burdens, and then afterwards he says, for each one should carry their own load. What are you telling us, Paul? It's mixed signals, mixed messages. What are we supposed to do in this case? Paul's heart is for a community, and he wants this community to thrive. And the way this community thrives is by learning to love one another. And two different Greek words are actually used here when it speaks about burdens and it speaks about the loads that Paul says to carry, right? This idea of burdens has to do with the verse before it. And so when people get tripped up, when our fellow brothers and sisters get tripped up by sin, maybe they fall back into old habits, we're meant to help to carry them. We're meant to come alongside them. We're meant to lift them up when they face those different burdens that they're facing. But the other word that's used for loads is this just general work, because in the end, each and every one of us are accountable for our own actions. So do you see how that plays out in community? Help one another. Pick one another up when we fall. But in the end, I'm responsible for my own actions and for the work that I do. And so that's something we find in verses 1 through 5. Okay, verses 6, let's keep reading from there. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. I should put that up somewhere. Okay, so we'll get back to that in a minute. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. It's interesting, this section actually has to do with caring for those who teach and preach the gospel. And that might not be obvious at first, but verse 6 really sets us up to understand that. The one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. And Paul does this a number of times through other letters he writes. He says things like, don't muzzle the ox when it's treading the grain. That's very descriptive. And so there are elders that are supposed to be teaching, and those who are teachers of the word are meant to be supported by the community as you do your teachers of the word here. And so Paul is kind of affirming this idea of support your teachers, support them, because what you sow, you will also reap. So share this. But it has broader principles as well on how life works, and we're going to come back to that in just a minute. Let's keep reading from verse 11. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. An interesting phrase. People have speculated all kinds of things. You know, did Paul have an eye problem and he had to write in really big font? It's kind of like the giant print Bibles some people have, right? He didn't get his cataracts done or something, and so he's got to write really big letters. I'm not so sure that was the issue. Or maybe Paul is like that one relative we have that always uses all caps, right? And when they're writing, they use all caps. Sounds like they're shouting at us all the time, and maybe Paul is doing all caps. I'm not sure. Paul seems to, at this point, sort of bring the quill from the scribe and do his own kind of writing. Maybe he's putting his signature on this. Maybe he's emphasizing kind of his authority to send this letter and to write this letter. But it's an interesting phrase. Okay, let's wrap it up with verses 12 through 18. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. This is Paul's summary. And in case we missed it, in all this letter, these are kind of his arguments summed up into three. First of all, you don't need to be circumcised. In other words, you don't have to come through the law in order to be accepted in this community. The second, the agitators that are saying that you need to be circumcised, they aren't your friends. In fact, they're hypocrites. And Paul makes that point really clear. And the third thing is, he says, stay focused on Jesus. I love what N.T. Wright says. A church formed by the reading of Galatians will be a church with Jesus at the center. A church called by love, shaped by love, striving to live by love. And that's Paul's final word to us to refocus us on Jesus. So lots in there. And I hope as you read it through, you'll begin to pick up. But I want to wrap this all up with one final freedom lesson from Galatians 6. I want to go back to that sowing and reaping passage, which is primarily about caring for the teachers for sure, but it has broader implications. And my lesson is this: you get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. You reap what you sow. This is what it says in the text. Let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's a sense in which, with all of our freedom, with all of our kind of resources that Paul has been talking about throughout this letter, the question is, how are we investing our freedom? That's the question I want to put to us. As we talk about all this and bring all the concepts down to this one question, this freedom that we have in Christ, what are we doing with it? Do we use our freedom to enslave others? Do we use our freedom simply to promote our own agenda? How are we using our freedom? Are we sowing it wisely? How are we investing our freedom? Maybe we've experienced freedom from guilt or shame or addiction or the mistakes of our past, and maybe we still need help from some of those things. But the freedom that we've tasted, the freedom in Christ, how are we investing that freedom back into community? Because what we sow, we will also reap. And Paul's suggestion is the way to invest that freedom is to do good. Do good. Do good to others. Start right here with a household of faith, and then let it extend beyond these walls. Do good. I don't know if we think about that as we go about the world. What good can I do today? What good can I do for my neighbor? I have the freedom to do as I please in lots of ways, but I'm going to choose to use that freedom to do good. How are we investing our freedom? And so as we mature in our understanding of freedom, as we understand that it's not just for ourselves, it's not just for self-expression, then we begin to see that there's an opportunity, that we're not just free from something, but we are free for something. We're going to end with this quote from N.T. Wright. He says this: "Freedom from restraint, if it is to be of any use, must be matched by a sense of freedom for a particular purpose. Free from the law, free from paganism, one is then free for God and free to love one's neighbors." How are we investing our freedom? It's not just free from something, it's free for something. Today, whether you know it or not, maybe you don't, maybe you do, is Christ the King Sunday. And if you're coming from an Anglican, maybe Catholic background, this is actually the last Sunday in the liturgical year. Next Sunday is Advent, and that's the beginning of the liturgical year. But today is Christ the King Sunday, and I think it's appropriate to end with that note, because as Paul goes to the Galatian churches, that's what he's announcing. That's the good news. Jesus is Lord. And over against the people that would say Caesar is Lord, over against those who would deny that Jesus is Lord, this is the declaration: Christ is King. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let's pray together. Father, as we wrestle with these words from Paul that have come to us through the ages, may you help us to understand them not just with our own intellect and our own hearts, but with help from your Spirit. We pray that they might transform us into people who would do good with our freedom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.